Before I begin, I feel a dull urge to offer to you an explicit content warning for the message this morning. I don't plan to curse, and I don't plan to use any explicit imagery. But as I have prepared and reflected on the Beatitudes and the teaching of Jesus, I'm challenged by the explicit nature that goes against the status quo of our lives and the messages that we hear and are reinforced in our lives. So I want to offer you this explicit content warning that if you have no desire to have your ego or your status quo or your comfort level rocked, I won't be offended if you attend coffee hour half an hour early this morning. It was a few months after tsunamis devastated many places in Southeast Asia that Kimberly and I traveled to the state of Tamil Nadu in southern India. We led a team that was going to be doing some mission work there, particularly to hold a medical clinic at the Nayur Mission Hospital in Nayur, India. We were going to provide some relief for people who had not had any medical treatment since the tsunami. We were going to provide some financial relief and even to provide some music and entertainment at different churches in that area of India. It was only a few days into our trip that we began to feel that our physical, our financial, and our emotional resources were tapped. The needs were endless. The financial needs, the medical needs, all the needs that were around us, they seemed to be endless, always coming at us. For the hospital had great expectations for this team of Americans that had doctors and nurses and laypersons like me. They expected us to care for hundreds, even thousands, who had broken shoulders, who had ruptured organs, who had many other injuries from the tsunami and injuries that were not caused by the tsunami. Just a few days into this trip, we felt bankrupt, broken. We had no more money to cover any more surgical procedures. We could no longer give any gifts to churches who needed to rebuild their parsonages that had been destroyed, or the endless needs of little old ladies who would come up who had no place to stay. They would give us handwritten notes of their financial needs, hoping that we could take care of it in some way. So early in the trip, we realized that we had gone to this place in the world with the expectation that we would give and that others would receive. I have to say that I myself was broken, disappointed, and I even felt foolish that I had such audacity to go and to think that I was going to offer some sort of wealth to those who were poor. They would receive it, and I would feel good about it. Now, something else was happening at the same time during this trip. Anytime we would go into a village or a community or a church, far off before we would arrive, there was some sort of welcome affair, whether it was a big sign in styrofoam with all of our names, sometimes misspelled in a comical way, or whether it was an enormous display of flowers with the name of our church, Pittman, Welcome Pittman Methodist Church, written in an array of flowers. We even went to one church where this display was handwritten on the ground in different colors of salt. When we would go into the communities, we were greeted by people not who were seemed to be desperately in need, but they seemed to have something. They had a resilience of spirit, a beauty, a strength of community. They talked to us about how their faith had sustained them, particularly in losing so many people in the tsunami and other situations. The preaching and the music and the food, all was beyond our expectation and strengthened our own resolve. It didn't take long for our own understanding of what we were there to offer or to receive began to be rocked. And I have to say that when the group returned to the United States, we didn't know which way was up. Some of us met only a few days after arriving back in the United States to begin to reflect on our experience. And I remember one person in our group said, I went thinking that we were the ones who were rich. I've returned to this place knowing how poor we really are. Jesus challenges the world outlook of those who seek to follow him to understand things in different terms, in different conditions. If we are to follow Jesus, our lives cannot return to business as usual. Last week, we began to look at the Gospel of Matthew and see what it means to be followers of Jesus in a term of a new normal, which means that the things that are normal in our lives are rocked and changed in one way or another. Last week, particularly in the Gospel, Jesus called disciples to a new way of life. He interrupted their productivity and called them to be fruitful in a way that they couldn't characterize or quantify the depth of their ministry and their work. In the same way, Jesus calls us to another type of new normal, and that is to a new world outlook. If we are to be followers of Jesus Christ, it is more than simply identifying with a culture. We are more than just members of a group or a church or a country that identifies itself as Christian. We are also more than people who observe holidays. Following Jesus is more than giving to a good cause, and certainly more than just doing good things in this world. Following Jesus exposes us to a new normal for our lives. We are called to new vocation, and we are also called to see the world with different eyes, with different lenses. I'll never forget it. When I was a high school student, I went to a church event with a Lutheran friend of mine, and a pastor stood up and began that event saying he was going to preach one of his favorite sermons of all times. He stood up with no notes, no paper, and he paced the room, and he began to say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I have to say, it took me half the way into his message for me to realize that he didn't write that sermon. But I have to say, as he preached the entire Sermon on the Mount, which is three chapters in Matthew, from memory, it struck me in a different way. It was more than words on a page, but it was words that strike at the heart of who we are, and it really challenges the messages that we hear reinforced in our daily lives. His preaching, this sermon from memory, helped me perhaps to experience it in the way that Jesus' disciples experienced it, to hear how radically different God wants us to view the world. Hear this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Adopting Jesus' outlook in the world requires us to acknowledge that those who have been marginalized in the fringes of society are blessed and they have a standing in the eyes of God. This new normal of our world outlook forces us to acknowledge the countercultural nature that Jesus would have us see the world. So often that we approach our good doing and our kindness in the world in the same way that I have to say my very well-intended team traveled to India. We went with us understanding that we had something and that we had been blessed and we had gifts, we had resources and time and finances, and we could go and share those and other people would be saved and healed and helped. I have to say that if we take on Jesus' outlook of the world, it means much more than acknowledging the blessedness of our gifts, and it means to understand what it is to be blessed in a different way. It is obvious, if we look at Jesus' words of the blesseds, the poor in spirit, the meek, those who mourn. It's obvious to see this as countercultural because most dominant messages in our society reinforce the inverse. You have been blessed when you are wealthy. You have been blessed when you are bold and you can get what you want. You are blessed when you rejoice. You are blessed when you get well-deserved revenge. You are blessed when you get what you want by any means necessary. And you are blessed either as a group or a nation when you engage in war and win. Have you ever felt these messages in your life? Have you? I like hands. Can I see? I like to know that I'm not crazy. You don't have to watch too many commercials to see get your own bag or don't lay a finger on my butterfinger, to see messages that are reinforced of taking care of ourselves, taking care of number one, looking out for our families, our priorities, to always be on top. But it's easy to see that Jesus' words are countercultural because his list of blessedness applies to segments of our population that are more often than not marginalized in our society. Perhaps, and this is where it gets touchy, perhaps I wonder that Jesus lifts the poor in spirit as blessed because the barrier between them and the knowledge that all good things come from God is thinner than those who have many material goods. Let me repeat that. Perhaps Jesus lifts up those who are marginalized in the society because the barrier between them and the knowledge of God's presence in their lives is thinner than those who have wealth or possessions or success. If we are to adopt this worldview, we have to understand and let go of the illusion that any success that we have, any material goods, any achievements that we have has come because we have worked hard, because we have done all that we can. We have come from the right place. We have been well educated, and perhaps we deserve it over other people. Perhaps we feel in our lives the need to dress things up with our things and our accomplishments. We have a need for security, a need to be full, a need to gain, a need to acquire, and a need to have. If we lose these things, if we lose our health, if we lose our family members, if we lose our houses or our cars or our jobs, we feel poor. We feel empty. Perhaps it is those who suffer, who mourn, who know what it's like to yearn for justice, already have had to have the illusion removed that it is in substantive things and accomplishments that make us rich. I have to say that it took not only one trip to India, but three trips to India and to a few other places in this world for me to realize that I have been blessed in many ways, in possessions, in family, but there are many ways also that I am deeply impoverished because I rely on things around me for my comfort. I rely on 401k, or I rely on a job or other things to give me a sense of stability. I've been in communities where people have absolutely nothing to save them from disaster, and their security is deeper and is stronger and more secure than mine has ever been. Can we learn to see beauty in simplicity? Can we feel security in trusting the God who gave us life? Can we find contentment in our relationships? Can we see that working for justice for others can be more fulfilling than climbing our own ladder of success? Oh, there is that word, success. Father Richard Rohr often says that we spend the first half of our life climbing a ladder, but then we discover that the ladder is against the wrong wall. What does it mean to spend our life to invest in the gifts and the security and the things that we have around us if it prevents us from seeing that God has blessed not only the haves, but God has blessed all people? And perhaps Jesus' worldview and the lenses that he seeks to give his disciples are eyes and lenses to help them to see that God's blessedness and presence has nothing to do with what we do, acquire, or accomplish. But it is what God does and what God has already done. Another thing about this worldview is that it is not cause and effect. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the earth." I believe strongly that they won't inherit the earth because they are poor in spirit. I believe that God has offered all of us to inherit the earth and to inherit the kingdom of God. But if our perception is clouded by an illusion that we achieve on our own, we are less likely to receive that blessedness. If you feel challenged by this outlook, you are not alone. You are not outside the company of your pastor. You are not outside the company of many others who have gone before us. But as we follow Jesus, we recognize that the world is sustained and given and created and called into life by God alone. The blessedness of the world and whether we have or don't have is part of the divine mystery. And it's that mystery in which we rely on and fall into the arms of Jesus. Will you continue to walk this journey with me? To follow Jesus and to live into a new normal that takes our world outlook of finding beauty and simplicity, of finding hope in despair, and allowing it to be turned into new action and a new way of life. Pray with me. Gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the ways that you have blessed us when we are healthy and when we are sick, when we are rich and when we are poor. God, remove any blinds or illusions from our eyes so that we may trust in you, that we may give you thanks and that we may walk with one another, unhindered and unhampered by our view of this world. Lead us, guide us, and give us strength. Amen.